This goes with the teaching part one, Dominion Theology. It's called The End Times. This is by C. Peter Wagner. This book, is the title of it is Dominion. A second objection is eschatological, dealing with our views of the end times. Dominion theology, true enough, tends to be disruptive. Why? Many of my generation were indoctrinated with the pre-trib, premillennial view of the end times. I cut my Christian teeth on the Scofield Bible and sat under those like Wilbur M. Smith, who taught that the world was supposed to get worse and worse until finally all true believers would one day be raptured into heaven. Then those who had been left behind would go through 7 years of tribulation and the Antichrist gaining control until Jesus returned on a white horse and led us all to 1,000 years, a millennium of reigning with Him. This was our glorious hope. If, on the other hand, we now believe that God is mandating our involvement in aggressive social transformation, that's dominion. It is obvious that we will arrive at a different viewpoint. We no longer accept the idea that society will get worse and worse because we now believe God's mandate is to transform society so that it gets better and better. I agree with Jim Hodges, who suggests that we Christians need to get rid of our excessive desire to leave the planet. This makes us much less dogmatic on theories of the millennium. I often say fastidiously that I no longer know if I am a premillennial or postmillennial or amillennial. I am decided to be panmillennial, believing that everything's going to pan out all right in the end. Seriously, I will confess that up until recently I knew what eschatology I did not believe, namely the traditional left-behind futuristic view that I was not able to verbalize what I actually did believe. My changing point came when I read Victorious Eschatology by Howard Eberle and Martin Trench. Victorious Eschatology fits dominion theology like hand in a glove. Eberle and Trench say, before Jesus returns, the church will arise in glory, unity, and maturity. I believe that. I believe that's what's happening right now. The kingdom of God will grow and advance until it fills the earth. We haven't even fulfilled our commission. Victorious Eschatology makes a convincing argument the Bible biblical prophecies concerning the last days are the end times were literally fulfilled at the time of the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Now, I think that. And even some commentaries put that. The desolation, you know, the abomination of desolation that actually happened, AD 70. The end times mark the ending of the old covenant and the beginning of the new covenant. Jesus literally will return to the earth in the future. See Matthew 25 and, 24 and 25. But none of the signs of Matthew 24, 4 through 34 are expected to precede his return because they have already occurred. For some, however, this steps outside strict traditional doctrinal boundaries. As an example, the Assemblies of God, a prestigious denomination, is committed to premillennialism, and this predictably leads them to oppose dominion theology. Like I told you, when I mentioned it to someone, they acted like I'd said, I handed them a snake. Like it was, that's demonic. In one of their official publications, they list dominion theology under a series of deviant teachings, which are disapproved by the denomination's general presbytery. A similar objection came from John Stott in his commentary on the Lucian Covenant. He wrote, "What exactly is the church's expectation or hope? Some speak nowadays as if we should expect the world to get better and better, as if to secure conditions of material prosperity, international peace, social justice, political freedom, and personal fulfillment is equivalent to establishing the kingdom of God." Isn't it supposed to be? But Jesus gave no expectation that everything would get steadily better. This is simply not the Christian hope according to Scripture. I regret bringing up a third objection that raised some barriers to the more general affirmation of dominion theology for a time. Unfortunately, some of the higher visibility, most vocal advocates of dominion theology became subject to serious accusations of moral turpitude. While it would be difficult to draw any cause and effect conclusions from this, nevertheless, many Christian leaders were understandably alienated from dominion theology because of this unsavory association. So much for the rough waters advocates of dominion theology had to investigate for a reason. I'm convinced that we are now in a new season. Growing numbers of church leaders no longer shy away from the challenge of transforming society according to the values of the kingdom of God. The rough waters are becoming smoother. Admittedly, this is a personal opinion, but I think the best way we can proceed is to affirm and redeem the term dominion theology, not to discard it. The most frequently suggested alternative is the term kingdom theology. Kingdom theology is good, but I regard dominion theology as stronger, more action-based, more aggressive, and more biblically comprehensive. Kingdom theology tends to have pastoral connotations, while dominion theology leans more toward the apostolic. This is not to deny that the kingdom of God is the theological underpinning of dominion theology. Our prayer still must be, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven."